Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, February the 26th, 2010. February, as it turns out, was a very good month for commodities. We'll talk about what it might mean for March, April, and May, and crop insurance decisions today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Jim Bauer of Bauer Trading from Lafayette, Indiana. Our panelists in studio today are Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities from Newmarket, Indiana, and Mike Georgie of Allendale from Mahomet, Illinois.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Well, let's open our discussion today with this question. The new crop months of corn, wheat, and soybean all gained nearly 15 cents for the week. Wayne Nelson, will the trend higher continue into the month of March?
Well, of course, Monday will be a new month, and generally the first of the month we see new fund money or new investment money pouring in. So we're looking for the market to probably, after a good strong close on Friday, have a good day on Monday. But then we sort of wonder, can we follow through? It's generally been a seesaw week as we go.
Pete Manhart?
I agree with that part about starting out higher. We have to worry about the world economy, what that news is. That's pushed and pulled it all last month. We have to worry about South American bean harvest, whether that helps push it or pull it. But I think normally this time of year, because of unknowns, we don't know what we're going to plant or when. We tend to have things go a little higher, just don't know how high we can go, whether we can hold it or not.
And Mike Georgie.
Well, I'd have to agree. I think we got a good possibility of working higher into next month. The traders are thinking that, doom and gloom. We're not going to get the corn harvested that's out there. We're not going to get the corn planted. We're going to have a wet spring. The snow melt's going to flood everything. So they're thinking doom and gloom. And as long as they think that, I think we have a good chance to move higher. And, of course, the fund's got to go along with us.
Wayne Nelson, you do sell crop insurance, so let's start with that to begin with. I know producers will be interested. As we ended the month, it set crop insurance at $3.99 for corn and $9.23 for soybeans. How does that differ from last year, and what does it mean for the crop insurance decisions they'll all be making in the next 15 days or so?
Well, of course, last year, Todd, we were 404 on the corn and 880 on the beans, so that gives us a little better number for the beans and very, very close within a nickel on the corn. So, number one, the costs are going to remain about the same as far as per acre cost, and I think that it's going to give us some fairly decent guarantees because we have to remember, number one, hopefully our fertilizer costs are a lot less than they were last year, so this should give the farmers a very decent chance to lock in a profit for the year.
Was there anybody that thought that these numbers will change the mix of acres that will be put out and sown this year?
I think the beans being up will maybe help them a little bit, but I think the big thing was farmers that were going to change made that decision, a lot of them back 2 months ago when they could get over 10 for beans, and they actually sold beans with the idea to plant more in places around the Midwest.
All right. About 13 to 15% of the farmers across the nation signed up, speaking of acre, different type of acre, signed up for the acre program, have been asked a couple of times in the last week whether that should have an impact on their decisions for crop insurance. The answer from Gary Schnitke, from the farm management folks here at the University of Illinois, is Probably not, although there's some variability in that, and you might want to discuss that with your crop insurance agent. So let's take a look at what the numbers actually look like in Chicago for the wheat. For the week, corn pit, a March high of $3.80, the low at $3.60. A settlement price 18 cents higher on the week at $3.78. And the monthly trade was up 21.5 cents. That, like almost everything else, was a hook up in Chicago. It sure looked awful good when you started taking a look at the charts for the end of the month.
It really did. I mean, we did make those lows, and then we've come way off of those lows. Like you said, beans were down also very hard, but coming back off those lows made us feel better about this year's crop, made us look at what we ought to be doing for further sales or further protecting prices.
How does Allendale view that hookup?
Well, I think it looks positive, but I think, it's the mentality of the market. They're thinking, the outside markets are definitely making a difference. Crude goes up, dollar goes down, or vice versa. It makes a difference. But the trade seems to be really focused on, whether we're going to get this corn crop out and get it in, and we're awful early to be talking about that. And so we could get a real boom if we do actually get into physical problems rather than just thinking about them. And the beans, we've had good demand. We've had good exports. We've had good crush numbers. We're above USDA estimates, so ending stocks could actually keep working lower for beans. So, yeah, it looks bullish down the road.
December corn. Oh, there's a word I haven't heard for a bit. I've heard friendly, but bullish is a new one. We'll come back to you and ask why for sure. December corn, 413, up 14.75, by the way, from last week. And it, too, ended up with a hook up for the month. It was up 22.25 cents month over month, so from January to February as they closed out. I got to ask, why do you think we got a bullish marketplace in corn, and how bullish can it really be?
Well, I think it's bullish because the traders are looking at it to be bullish, that we're going to have problems. And, of course, I mean, you can't deny that. I mean, we have corn still sitting buried in snow. We have a wet spring coming where we're going to melt this abundant snow and be wet. So, and of course the demand is staying pretty good. So the outlook's, looks bullish. It doesn't look as gloomy, and especially for beans that, even though we have a big South American crop, we are using our domestic crop. We're 6 to 8% above USDA estimates on crush numbers, and our exports are doing well. So, I mean, we could make that ending stock even smaller. So we do need the acres, and we do need good yields again this year.
Dissenting opinions at all?
Well, I'd have to say, Todd, that I'm probably not in great agreement, but that's because I'm sort of a bearish type person rather than the bullish type person. And I've been a Bears fan for years. But no, the one thing I would have to say is we're looking at a huge crop out there that we think is going to probably run into storage type problems and is going to have to move. And generally, a poor crop or poor quality generally doesn't make for bullish prices. But then again, we might have higher prices and great discounts to go along with it. But I'm just thrilled to death that some of these funds are pushing this market back up and giving me a chance to scale in some more sales that I didn't have a chance or didn't get people talked into putting on before. We put some Dees hedges on Friday, and we're looking to start scaling in again in the 18 to 20 bracket and then at 25 again.
Well, I'm worried about they're worried about our exports on corn. Are we really going to be able to compete there at higher prices again? But I think the big thing is, what acreage are we going to plant for next year? And USDA's meeting last a week ago, they had us planting fewer acres of the top eight crops. They didn't say anything about the 6.2 million acres coming out of winter wheat, which mostly is in the Midwest, that an awful lot of will go to more acres of beans and more acres of corn. And I think that along with the South American crop, could hold prices from going very far this spring.
Let's skip on into wheat, because we don't talk about it all that often. But since you mentioned wheat acres, we'll talk about where those might go momentarily. There was a March high this week at $5.07 for the soft red, a low at $4.85 and a quarter, with a settlement price up 16.75 there at $5.06 and a half. For the month, up 32.5 cents. July, the harvest month, up 31 cents month over month, up 14.5, or nearly half of that in just this 1 week, at $5.31 and a quarter. July wheat for the soft red in Chicago, up 14.5 cents there. We've got fewer acres of wheat. They have an awful big basis still, although I think it's been getting better. So the question for you is, can you be bullish corn and have the folks in the southern part of Illinois have fewer acres of wheat? And would you think they're more likely to go beans or corn? And what about Indiana and Ohio and the rest of the way to the East Coast?
Well, whether they're going to go beans or corn, I think it's hard right now to say because they didn't plant the wheat. So, did they get fertilizer on? I mean, which they probably didn't, but there's a lot of questions there. So I don't know which way they're going to go on that. But, we've got a huge supply ending stocks of wheat. So can wheat go up a whole lot? Maybe it's going to come up some if the corn and beans do come up. But, something I talked to a guy today that, we saw spring wheat go up a lot in the past. And, we got North Dakota that's still got corn in the field. So we may look at spring wheat as maybe a spread with the Midwest wheat, Chicago wheat, to gain some price there.
Todd, according to the University of Illinois study, a corn farm that produces an average of 250 bushels an acre and selling price of $4 will have a return per acre of $570 before land costs, and the same farm would return approximately $290 per acre for beans with a 60-bushel yield and a $950 selling price. So right now, corn is king as far as dollars go on the corn-bean decision.
And I've got a ton of people in areas that we used to not think could grow good corn that are growing 200 bushel corn in parts of southern Ohio, southern Indiana, southern Illinois. The techniques today and the technology is that much better. So I think a third of this 6 million acres will go to corn. I think a third will go to beans. The rest of it, that 2 million, I don't know where it'll go, but I think that's one thing that all the prognosticators have missed out on is we are going to have a lot more acres available for corn and beans.
Soy complex now. March beans at 978 and three-quarter top, bottom at 934 and three-quarters. Settlement price at 951, up 6 cents in the March. The November's at 941, were up 15. They were up 37 cents in the March on the month over month, and November were up 29 and three quarters again. $9.23, the crop insurance price, that's a lot of numbers for the beans, but they're all nines, and that sounds not so bad, I suppose, most of the time.
Well, it's true. I mean, you could make money selling $9 beans, so I think, you need to take advantage of it because, we could slip back.
Bean market?
Bean market, I'm still worried about it because of the South American harvest. Yeah, they've got wet places, they've got this, but it's the largest harvest they've ever had, and it's lots bigger than last year and the year before, and that worries me.
We have not switched really yet to the South American market for exports. You want to guess at when that'll happen?
Well, I think it's happening every day. We had a couple loads that were switched from Pacific Northwest this week down to South America, Todd, number one. And number two, that's going to start picking up all the time. As we look at this, we're looking at our first point to start rehedging here at about 9:45 for those that didn't have all they wanted on over $10 or just didn't get off their feet and do it. There's another thing we looked at today was $10 November bean calls. We're trading, I think, about 55 cents. And when you add that premium back in and take your basis off, that's $10 fall cash beans if they were to be exercised, if not 50 cents in your pocket. So that's one of the ways we're thinking about trying to get towards $10.
Let's take up some of the livestock as well. Live cattle, February contract this week, a high of 92.50, a low at 90 bucks. It expired at 90.30 at 247.5 lower. The April is the new lead. It had an outside up month and settled at $91.92. The March at 101 and a nickel were off $1.55. In Chicago for the feeder cattle. Lean hogs this week at 72.95, top bottom at 69.05, a hookup month there. A settlement price on the lean hogs on the week at $72.80. They finished 3.15 higher. We've had a pretty big run in the livestock market for both hogs and cattle. Are we going to finish that off fairly quickly, or will it continue to?
Well, the supposed agreement or getting along better with Canada on the hogs helped bring them on a lot higher, and I don't know what the economy will do to cattle as far as people buying meat.
Wayne?
I'd have to agree with Pete. I mean, we're going to have to watch how the stocks go out. And if we can pick up on our exports, if we can get the exports of the pork back up, they'll continue to gain a little bit.
One final question for each of you. What is the biggest factor in the next month and a half, do you think, for the corn market and for soybeans? And we'll start here.
Well, I think it's going to be weather. It's going to be whether we can get this crop harvested. And it's going to be if we continue crushing demand and export demand for exports.
I think it's the outside markets. What's Europe doing? Look what happened when they talked about Greece in the last week to 10 days. We went way up. We went way down. I think the outside markets are still pushing us around.
How fast business goes to South America on the beans, Todd, and, of course, the corn. It's going to be what the dollar does and what energy does, crude oil.
Our panelists in studio include Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and Mike Georgie of Allendale. We'll return in just 2 minutes when we'll talk with Jim Bauer of Bauer Trading out of Lafayette, Indiana. The Commodity Week program is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
I'm Jim Angel, state climatologist here at the Illinois State Water Survey within the Institute of Natural Resource Sustainability on the campus of the University of Illinois. Overall, this week has been another cold one with temperatures 6.9 degrees below normal. Most of Illinois received less than an inch of precipitation during the week, and almost all of that fell as snow. So far, February is shaping up to be one of the coldest on record with temperatures 4.7 degrees below normal. At the same time, precipitation is near normal at 1.6 inches. Much of that fell as snow, with amounts ranging from about 4 inches in far southern Illinois to over 14 inches in the Chicago and Quad Cities areas. And if you're wondering about the entire winter, we can say that it has been exceptionally cold. The statewide average temperature was 3.1 degrees below normal, while precipitation was 7.2 inches, about an inch above normal. Snowfall is running about 1 to 10 inches above normal across the southern and central parts of the state, and about 10 to 20 inches above normal across northern and western Illinois. According to the National Weather Service, Illinois will be dominated by high pressure over the next week. Daytime highs should be in the 30s and 40s, with nighttime temperatures below freezing, with little chance of snow or precipitation. The forecast for March is for colder and drier than normal conditions as well. For the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign, I'm state climatologist Jim Angel.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333 and by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. This edition was recorded on Friday, February the 26th. Our panelists in studio today, Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities from Newmarket, Indiana, and Mike Georgie of Allendale from Mahomet, Illinois. Our guest on the phone line today is Jim Bauer of Bauer Trading. He's in Lafayette, Indiana. Jim, thank you for being with us today so much. In February, most of the commodities posted a very good technical hookup. As you look at the macroeconomics, can that continue to be seen as a good sign in the coming months?
Well, one thing I think is happening, and that is it looks to me like the value of the dollar has made its low, especially in comparison to the euro. So in 2008, part of 2009, we did have the benefit of commodities benefiting by a declining dollar just about every week. Since that time, we've moved up here now, and I sense that from a global standpoint, the major hedge funds and sovereign funds and basically the index funds too probably are going to look at this market a little differently in 2010, in that they'll look at individual commodities that warrant supply-demand consideration as opposed to just a blanket program of buying commodities in general. So the fact that they're sitting there with a lot of money, and a lot of that money is not earning much, if any, interest. The stock market has been reasonably flat. Maybe the emerging markets have some opportunity. But I sense that there's a tremendous amount of money in the wings that will look at commodities on an individual basis if they see the supply threatened in any way.
Jim, how do you feel, or how what percentage are you at now on your new crop corn sales?
Corn, I think, is the one that is the most difficult to analyze. We've only got 10% priced at 448 at the present time. We've left everything pretty much open. I looked at a December $5 corn call here the other day, or this week, and it was around 18, 19 cents. By the time you put commission in there, that's almost $1,000 just for a $5 corn call, which is almost a dollar out of the money. What does that tell me as an advisor? That would tell me that the underwriters and the large-scale, well-financed traders, investors, they're pretty shaken with the fact that they think the volatility, either up and down or a combination thereof, is going to be pretty high in 2010. So I want to leave my sales of corn relatively open right now. We got all the 09 crops sold around Thanksgiving, so we don't have to move any of that. But we're pretty light on our sales in 2010 so far on corn, and we've moved up our sales to soybeans on the November 10 contract to about 40%, average price $9.78. And we actually took off our hedges, which were profitable, and we've listed all of our hedges on wheat here this past week, feeling that the wheat market may be a little bit more of a follower to the corn market than most people think. And I just came from the North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota region, and I'm relatively confident in saying that unless Mother Nature really changes her current pattern, it's going to be a late spring up there, and I certainly didn't want to be short any spring wheat contracts because of their inelasticity.
Are you looking in this volatility at selling any out-of-the-money calls or out-of-the-money puts in corn or beans?
Bauer trading is really oriented towards sell and defend, but we tend to not do too much in selling calls and or puts. We feel that has a certain air of speculative nature to it, and I know some people will disagree with that, but we prefer more of the sell and defend mechanism, especially using the board where we are aligned with the bankers or lenders, and they're certainly willing to put up the margin money for that particular producer or producers when they can see the net bottom line is extremely attractive. That worked extremely well for us in 2009, and we sent out the largest number of six-figure checks, some of them approaching seven figures, essentially on profits made off of hedges. But I will admit there were some margin calls in there. But again, because of the volume of business, because of the volume of production, and certainly the price around Thanksgiving when we made the sales, there was a great deal of money made by those producers who were fortunate enough to have good yield and great price.
Hey, Jim, you know, after the February supply and demand report, people were talking, you know, corn in the $2 and all this stuff. And you hear a lot of talk about India growing, China growing, demand. How much do you think that's going to play in prices of our commodities?
Well, first, I want to, this is a little punctuation point on what I'm going to say here. Remember, I think it was on Monday when corn was down about 4 cents. And it went from 4 cents to plus, I think, 15 or 16 in a period of about 15 to 20 minutes. And I feel that rally was caused by a forecast that came out by one of the, out of China, that western region of China was getting dry and some of the emerging wheat was having difficulty due to dryness. My point that I'm trying to launch here is I still think China and India and the Asian markets are just a phenomenal demand base. When you look at how big China is, 22% of the world's population, they only have 9% of the world's arable lands, they have six times the number of hogs that we have here in the United States, they have 47 times the number of goats and sheep, they have 2.2 times the number of poultry, their demand base is phenomenal, and they're just barely able to squeak along to meet their demand, even with these tremendous crops that they've been able to produce, a lot of it due to friendly Mother Nature. So my feeling is this market is very different than 08, 09. I think 2010 is going to be a market of high volatility, quicker windows of trade. You're going to feel great 1 minute, wrong the next, so you really got to be on top of this market. But I want to accentuate again, don't rely upon what we see just here in the United States. This market is much more intermeshed with the global structure, particularly from a demand base out of Asia, and I just don't see that go away. And keep in mind, we have not had a major crop problem since 1988 of any major consequence here in the United States. Well past the Benner cycle of 18.6 years. And so my feeling is be nimble. Don't be too bullish. Don't be too bearish. Be in a position to make some sales. I like using the board on a pure hedge transaction. I feel a futures contract on the board is essentially an HTA with flexibility because you can get out of it if you want. You can move it if you need to, and you keep your delivery points certainly wide open. So I like that particular strategy, particularly when we've got good cooperation with the banks and the lending institutions for margin.
Jim, can I take you back to the mid-90s when the Asian tigers in China and that area looked like it was ready to explode, was in the process, and then they failed? Is there that possibility in large percentage again?
Well, we feel... That's a good point. I think you always got to be careful. I know that there's some concern that China's starting to back down now, particularly on their growth rate. I mean, at 10.7%, it's certainly too fast. We're starting to see the effects of their stimulus plan and the effects that it had on their infrastructure starting to slow down. I think the Chinese may be shifting a little bit of emphasis to the consumer himself or herself, as opposed to infrastructure and construction type moves. But again, you know, maybe I'm making it too simple, but if you give a Chinese child an ice cream cone, I don't think he or she ever forgets it. I just don't see that demand base going away too fast. And I want to reiterate that point I just made. They've been doing quite well on the hinge of these good crops that they've had. Part of that's due to genetics, I grant you that. Part of it's hybrids, part of it's good mechanization. But certainly here in the Northern Hemisphere, let's just be honest, it's just been terrific from a growing standpoint in most regions of the world, and someday that's not going to happen. So, again, I just want to overemphasize the flexibility strategies that I think producers need to use. And again, don't be too bullish, don't be too bearish, but be nimble.
Jim, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
You're welcome. Jim Bauer is with Jim Bauer Trading out of Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us from his office by phone. In studio with us this afternoon, Pete Manhart, Wayne Nelson, and Mike Georgie. Mike, a final word from you, please.
I agree. The market's going to be interesting this year, and there's a lot going to make a difference on them. Outside markets, weather, it's going to be interesting.
And Pete Manhart?
Be ready to take advantage of higher prices if they appear.
And Wayne Nelson of L&M.
We've got 2 weeks to make some crop insurance decisions now that we know the prices. Make sure you see your local agent.
And our thanks again to Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois. And Mike Georgie of Allendale for this February 26th edition of Commodity Week. It is a production, of course, of Illinois Public Media. Don't forget that in just, a week and a half or so, on March the 9th, we'll be at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana for our all-day Ag Outlook meeting. You can find all the details at willag.org. That's willag.org. Pre-registration will close on Monday, but you can show up that day and take your chances. We have on Friday afternoon more than 300 people pre-registered for our all-day Ag Outlook meeting. I'm Todd Gleason. You'll have a great weekend.